Welcome to the Game Changer Unlocked, where we spotlight elite performance and the people behind it. I'm your host, Brian Fetzer. Today's guest turned his own personal transformation into a mission to help others break through mental barriers and unlock peak performance. Brandon Epstein works with professional athletes, entrepreneurs, and high achievers to elevate mindset, identity, and execution under pressure. Brandon, it's great to have you on the show.
Brian, it's great to hang again, man. Pumped to get into this.
I'm really excited because I, you know, just our conversations, you know, off the line have been amazing. And it kind of just makes me shake my head and just in amazement in a lot of ways. But I want people to understand the beginnings for you. So take me back to the early football career and when you first realized the biggest limitation wasn't physical, but it was mental.
Absolutely. You know, I was into bodybuilding and the physical side of training, you know, throughout high school. And so when I got to college, I thought that would be enough. But my freshman year, I rode the bench the entire year and I was only at college to play football, you know, realistically, like that was the most fun thing for me at the time. And so that was a big ego shot. And so during that season, I was like, this isn't sustainable. I need to find a way to get on the field. And so when we were at our winter break, I went to a local supplement shop in the school, in the town that I went to high school in. And I was asking for the magic pill, of course. I was like, all right, what's the next pro hormone you guys haven't banned yet? Get me on that. I need to get bigger, stronger, faster. And I was very fortunate that the manager of that supplement shop had been studying neuroscience, Chinese medicine, alternative medicine, meditation, all the things that I eventually got into for the last 20 years. And so instead of giving me the magic pill, he started bringing me down a rabbit hole, teaching me about meditation, how my mind perfects my performance, how stress and anxiety can actually be managed, and how I can actually boost my strength performance on the field through some of these energy techniques he was going to teach me. And so long story short, I came back the next season. I was a starter. I was one of the best players on our team. Not only that, but the same techniques I was using for myself, my teammates got really interested in. And so I started sharing with them as well. Probably not good for a 19-year-old's ego, but the athletic trainer called me the guru because of how much I was helping my teammates. And it was therefore that I knew that this is the magic sauce, that I need to be doing this in my own career. And I wanted to bring it to as many people as I could.
So you didn't have, there wasn't like a sports psychologist or some kind of mental performance coach with the team at that point?
None of that. There was no sports psychologist. There was no talk even of the mental side of the sport. You know, I remember actually my head coach used to make fun of me with the team because before I'd ever do a weightlifting set, I'd looked up the research. I worked with my sensei. Like I knew that like there's all this research to show that like visualization, a specific type called PET lab imagery, improves strength performance. So I'd always do my visualization before I was going to do the bench press or squat. And I'd also do these energy techniques, kind of ground myself, connect to my root to become stronger. And he would literally make fun of me and like call me out and, you know, just said, you know, Epstein's a weirdo. And so it was actually something that was frowned upon more so than even something that was presented as something I could use to improve performance.
Well, it's sad because so many coaches, when they're asked, you know, how much is it mental on your performance? They say, you know, 90%, 80%, 75%. But then at the same time, they don't believe in doing anything for it. They just think that it's on you. You've got to be mentally tough. But you're saying, I mean, hey, you can prove and you helped yourself get better by applying principles and applying texts and techniques. It's the way it should be.
Yeah, exactly. I took the bull by the horns myself and I didn't care. You know, I was ready to dance the beat of my own drum because I was like, this is working for me. Like I went from a guy who was sitting on the bench to being one of the most dominant players on the team. So whatever, you can call me the weirdo, but this is working and my teammates are actually coming to me for it. And so that just spurred inspiration inside of me. I've always had a little bit of this rebellious energy. I was like, all right, why isn't anyone else doing this? Why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we using it? Like, I want to go bring this to more people.
Well, and you know, your journey is really interesting because, I mean, you started off after college, you built an online fitness and mindset community early in your career. You know, with that, and speaking of shifting a little bit to entrepreneurship, you know, what did that teach you about resilience and identity?
You know, everything. I think that's what helped me so much to this day work with business owners and top executives, is because I understand that the stress and anxiety that you're under when you're performing in business is the same, if not greater, than what you're dealing with when you're playing sports. And so that smacked me right in the face as soon as I got into entrepreneurship. At 22 years old, I decided not to go pursue secondary degrees and instead take the techniques that were working for me and my teammates, my community, and turn them into mobile applications. And so I started a business where I was using my techniques. This is mobile apps. This is back in 2012. This is like around the time like Headspace was just getting started. So I was like on the cutting edge of that, but I was also a 22-year-old with no backing, had no idea really what I was doing outside of like putting apps out with my recorded meditations on them. And so eventually the business side of things didn't work out for me. And I ended up having to sell my business equity off to my partner. And I got into a ton of debt and I had to move down to Medellin, Colombia. Maybe I shouldn't say I had to, but I got to. And this was a place that was a soft landing for me where I could live for very little and I could bring myself out of this debt slowly. At least that was the plan. And so I made a pivot and I took my passion around mental performance. I combined it with one of my buddy's passions in the wellness space, specifically Jump Rope Fitness. And we started building this thing and digging myself out of this hole of $80,000 of credit card debt that I built in the previous company. And that was the hardest period of my life by far, like being down here, not knowing the language, you know, having to deal with the stress and anxiety, uncertainty. I'm watching all my friends go and get normal jobs and I'm down here, you know, living off $1,000 a month, just eating shit basically and looking like I have no idea what I'm doing for years before I kind of figure it out and I started getting traction. And when that happened, it was very validating, but I had to use all the tools that I've been using for football to get me through that period of time when things weren't working, right? Journaling, meditating, energy training within myself to kind of release the anxiety and to be able to just stay in the tension of not having it figured out long enough to actually get some traction.
Would you say, I mean, that's one pretty substantial piece of adversity that happened to you. Was there others kind of in the journey that kind of helped shape your coaching philosophy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I gave myself a lot of adversity in ways because I've been someone who's really always believed that like I'm the greatest source of knowledge and wisdom. The deeper I can go within myself, the more I'm going to be able to bring out and transmute into the world. And so there's a number of experiences I had. One in particular, you know, I started getting into plant medicines when I was down in Colombia, started exploring this, and especially when I got back to the US and I had an experience with the Bufo aloe vera's toad, chemical compound 5-MeO-DMT. And so what this compound does is it essentially forces an ego death. And so when I went through that full ego death, if anyone has ever experienced this, and they know what I'm talking about, most people haven't, but your whole identity of who I am, all right, I'm Brandon, I have these parents, this is what I do for work, these are my preferences, it all disappears. And you really separate yourself from this identity you programmed and you kind of feel like in the void for a moment of like, okay, where do I go from here? And so that was one of the dark nights of my soul of like rebuilding myself. But on the back end of it, it ended up being a great gift because what I realized in that process that I was able to see all the building blocks of my identity, everything that was making me feel fearful, anxious, doubting myself, low confidence. I had to move through each one of these insecurities and things that were holding me back to transmute them and to come out the other side of them. And that's now a really big part of the framework of what I teach within my Rewired method. So that was self-induced, but it was something that was very challenging. I took 6 months of just integrating that one experience to bring myself back out of it, to be able to actually integrate it within myself and then bring results to the clients I was working with afterwards.
Wow. When you began coaching others, was there a breakthrough moment that kind of confirmed, hey, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I would say on the back end of this experience with 5-MeO DMT, I got introduced to what I wanted to truly do for the rest of my life. Because the first 10 years of being in this space, I was doing a lot of the basics, right? Meditation, I do some timeline therapy, I learned emotional freedom techniques, I learned hypnosis. I learned a lot of these techniques that can be found in this field, but it wasn't the magic. It wasn't the stuff that was creating the, oh my God, like you just blew my mind type of experience for my clients. And so after I did the 5-MeO DMT, I had emotional trauma that stemmed from that ego death. My ego identity was so strong, was so just like gripped onto and contracted that when it was taken away from me, there's a lot of trauma left in that response from my identity trying to make sense of itself. And so I told my sensei about this and he said, let me see if I can help you. And we got on a video call and he just looked at me and smiled, kind of bobbed his head a little bit. And he's like, okay, how are you feeling? I'm like, dude, this is 10 out of 10 intense. Like I'm carrying this around everywhere with me. And then he kind of smiles, bobs his head and he goes, what is it now? I start laughing uncontrollably. I say it's 0 out of 10. You've taken away from me. And that was a moment where I was like, whatever you just did to me right there, I need to learn that. And that is literally what I do to this day. And I do it in a different way that he did it, but he kind of taught me the building blocks. He's been doing it for 40 years. I've only been doing it for about 8 years or so now. And so basically what that allowed me to do is I can reach into someone's subconscious and I can pull out and I can remove traumas and I can reprogram and rewire with them the subconscious code that drives how they feel in every moment, which of course leads to how they behave and the results they create. So that was the by far just, you know, shit your pants moment. Like this is the magic sauce and this is what I need to be bringing to the world.
Wow. That's awesome. I'm so excited to keep digging in deeper and deeper and kind of getting a better understanding of everything. We are going to come back right after a commercial break and we'll be back with Brandon Epstein to talk more and more about how his mindset changes really changing a lot of people right after this. Welcome back to the Game Changer Unlocked. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of the Game Changer Unlocked or any of your Now Media TV shows. Live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? No problem. Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website, www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle and culture and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. I'm back with Brandon Epstein, a high-performance coach to professional athletes, UFC fighters, entrepreneurs, and executives. He's helping them unlock peak mental states and sustained excellence. And I'm excited, Brandon, to dive into this a little bit more. You know, you work with NFL players, combat athletes, CEOs. You know, what do you see the similarities in the high performers across those various industries?
There's a lot. The one that comes up for me first is probably the difficulty dealing with external judgment. Right. So I could be working with an NFL player that just got a big contract. And now all of a sudden the whole fan base is like, all right, is this guy actually worth it? The management is going, should we have actually paid this guy? The teammates are looking around and going, so this guy's getting paid this now. And just the dealing with the fear of judgment from others. It's the same thing with someone I might be working with in private equity. They're going into a big room. They're going to go fundraise. They're going to ask for money. And the fear of judgment. Okay, do these people think I have the right pedigree? Do these people think that, you know, I actually am going to make them money? Do they actually believe the things that I'm saying? Or do they think that this is a waste of time and I'm just phony, essentially, right? So that's one of the biggest ones, man. And I think this is universal to all people, but just the fear of judgment, which only ramps up the higher the level you go to, because of course, there's more pressure, there's more eyeballs, and there's just going to be more emotional stress that you're going to have to move through.
How many sessions do you usually see it takes to kind of really make a breakthrough with one of the athletes or CEOs?
Yeah, the first session is usually a pretty big breakthrough. I'll be honest. In the first session, there's likely some kind of big somatic release. And what I mean by that is like there might be tears and, you know, someone may not have been held in the intimacy that I hold them in ever before, not even by their wives. And so there might be tears or might be rage. They have to get out a pillow and release it. Because when someone is constantly self-suppressing, let's say fear of judgment, they're just saying, doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. All that gets built up in the body as stress. And so in the first session, there's usually a big release where they let that go. And it's this feeling of expansion and freedom. So the first session is always a big breakthrough, but then it's, you know, it's never just the big moments that leave them completely transformed. I take about 6 or 7 sessions in total afterwards to once we get that big release to uncover all of the underlying programming, the subconscious level that allowed that stress to build up in the first place. And so we go in and we rewire that. And that usually takes about 6 or 7 sessions.
Hmm. Interesting. Fascinating. I've heard you mention the word flow state. And, you know, how do you define that? Kind of going to a next level of stuff. How do you define that? And how can somebody train to access their flow state?
You know, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi has his definition, right? So if someone wants to get the book Flow, he'll describe it much better than I can, you know, scientifically, because he's a trained psychologist. But for me, flow is freedom. Flow is freedom, baby. Can you go out there in a high-risk environment and perform free, whether you're presenting in front of a boardroom and you just feel free, you're in the present moment, or whether I just got back from the Olympics and I was working with a couple athletes there, one of my snowboarders, he was the number one US snowboarder, and he got to a place where he was like enjoying every moment of his runs as if he was like drinking in his favorite milkshake. You're fully present for it. You're free. You're enjoying it. And when you're able to do that, combining that with a high risk environment, that's what creates a flow state, right? You need some risk. There needs to be some stakes there, right? And so it's a combination of those two things of like being able to put yourself in a moment where it feels like there's something on the line and it matters and you're pushing your capabilities to the limit and you're able to get into a state of complete freedom, immersed in the present moment.
Is there something that kind of blocks that for a lot of people? I mean,
absolutely.
Getting into that, I mean, is there something that kind of shows up frequently?
Yes, it's all the work that I've seen that needs to be done is addition by subtraction. It's all blockages. And you can find them in the emotion. And if someone's actually willing to go in and have an emotional experience about, okay, what's actually coming up, right? You have a big moment coming up, the Super Bowl, right? This past year, I had one of my pitchers pitching in the World Series. Okay. What are you actually feeling? And if it's doubt, if it's insecurity, if it's fear, if it's anxiety, that's the emotion is the blockage. And that's also the way to get through the blockage. So you have to feel your way through that. And you have to uncover the underlying piece of code at the subconscious level. And so when I say that, the code is just what you're believing to be true in that moment that makes you feel that way, that's filtering your reality. Because many possibilities can be true at the same time, but you're deleting, distorting, and generalizing what you're going to perceive in the present moment, depending on what that code is written for. Mm.
So, I mean, when somebody is doing visualization, you know, is it all happy visualization, or do they got to kind of realize that not all things are going to be happy or positive?
Yeah, we got to prepare for the worst, right? You got to prepare for the worst, expect the best. And so when we do visualization, you know, especially we talked about working with UFC fighters, high risk environments, you have to be prepared at the subconscious level to be caught with something that you don't see coming. And so we visualize that. Okay, what happens in those moments? How do you stay alive? How do you keep yourself in the fight? You know, you're in a boardroom and you're giving a presentation and someone asks a question you don't have the answer to. Okay, What do you do when you get blindsided? So we visualize that. So your nervous system is actually prepared to handle the emotional tension and stress that comes up for those worst case scenarios.
You just mentioned the boardroom and it kind of got my mind thinking away. You know, for business leaders that would be watching, you know, what performance mistake do you see most often at that kind of executive level in the business side of things?
It's using force instead of power, meaning that they're so worried about not getting the outcome that they want that they try to force it down someone's throat, right? And so they're operating from pure willpower, pure, like, I'm going to make this happen. And what I've seen is that oftentimes that gets in the way of them getting into what we talked about, that flow state, and also building the trust with people in business, saying, hey, here's some space. I don't need to shove this down your throat. I actually create some space for this to breathe. So that's one of the biggest things, is that a lot of us, myself included, early on, we get a lot of success from pure force, willpower, make it happen with pure, that energy of just like, I'm going to make it happen. And when you get to the elite level, of course, there needs to be moments where you're pushing through resistance. But at the highest level, you have to find that where that pendulum is going to swing back and create some space for the other person to feel comfortable in relating with you and to build that trust necessary to get some of these deals over the finish line.
Is there a difference between, let me say this and then I'll kind of go back and maybe explain it. You know, do athletes respond to this a little bit more willingly than somebody in a boardroom setting, a CEO? Because I mean, it's becoming common, I shouldn't say becoming common practice, but it's becoming more prevalent in sport. Mm-hmm. But is it the same in business?
I find it's actually easier to work with business leaders because they have to fight for everything they have for the most part. So they're so used to just being stomped on every step of the way as they grow themselves, right? I've never met someone who didn't have to go through a tremendous amount of adversity to get to high level in business. Mm-hmm. And of course, every athlete has to get over their adversity as well, but there is a reality within athletes where some athletes are naturally gifted. You know, I know former Cy Young Award winners who don't do physical therapy, who when they're not playing, they're eating gummy worms and they're playing video games, right? And they're able to get by sometimes on that talent and that natural skill, I think in business or not. And so they're more willing and receptive to actually do some of this deeper work. That's been my experience personally.
That's fascinating. Talent is talent, but business, you definitely got to work at it. Mm-hmm. Is there some place where somebody can find out more information about the things you do and reach out to you if they wanted to work with you?
Absolutely. I wrote a book. It's called The Success Code. It's available on Amazon, Kindle, audiobook, paperback, you name it. That's a great way to just come down the rabbit hole, learn about the work, learn about my story, learn actually the framework, because I put that in the book as well. And then if anyone wants to reach out just directly, I have a website, thebrandonepstein.com. It's a great way to get in touch.
That's perfect. Man, we appreciate that. Hey, we're going to keep diving in some more. And actually, we're going to touch base a little bit about an experience on a different show that you had that kind of fascinated me a little bit. I was kind of blown away a little bit, which is a good thing. A little teaser there. Hey, we'll be back after this break with more with Brandon Epstein on the Game Changer Unlocked. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Brandon Epstein about peak performance in sport and in life. And Brandon, you know, I've got to ask you, you were featured on the Joe Rogan Experience, which is one of the most influential podcasts, YouTube shows, really in the world. How did that opportunity come about?
Yeah, when I launched my book, I was trying to get it out into the world. So I hired a PR company to go and try to pitch me to podcasts. They pitched Rogan and he wasn't interested. And a year and a half went by. And I guess in the meantime, I built some goodwill because I ended up having some UFC fighters that I worked with go on a show and talk about the work we did. I think that was enough to maybe spark a little interest. And so after a year and a half of just hearing nothing back. I get a text message one day and it says, "Hey, Joe wants to have you on." I was like, "Right, let's go."
What was that like? I mean, I now I'll fanboy for a couple seconds. You know, what was that like? I mean, because it's definitely, he hits on topics that are controversial sometimes, kind of outside the box in another, but it seems like it's a very just engaging experience.
Yeah, it was interesting. Transparently, I wasn't able to really connect with him at an emotional level. You know, like you and I, we sat down, we had coffee, and we were able to really get into it, get into the flow state, having a conversation. It was very different for him and I. And I think that everyone has their on days, everyone has their off days. If anyone wants to go and watch the episode on YouTube, you'll literally see there's only two different types of comments there. The first comment is, "This isn't the Epstein we wanted." And the second comment is, "Why isn't Joe giving this guy an opportunity to say anything?" Because every time I kind of got started trying to explain the stuff we're talking about, he cut me off and went down another tangent. All that to say, this guy changed my life. You don't go on Joe Rogan without having your life transformed. So I'm incredibly grateful for the experience. And at the same time, I wasn't able to get into that flow state with him and really connect. And so this is why I'm doing shows like yours, Brian. Get to get more of the magic out into the world.
Hey, I absolutely love it. You know, when you step into the arena, you know, what message did you want to most, you know, deliver that you might have couldn't do that then?
Yeah, I think just telling my story, giving the arc of like how I learned these things, you know, who I've worked with, you know, he asked about, you know, a couple of the UFC fighters, but didn't really give me too much space to get into it. And just telling about these case studies of like how it transforms people's life, how I do what I do, and just being able to get into that flow, because I think people learn through stories. And the best thing about this podcast is it's so long form that I was really looking forward to like telling the origin story of like, how did I learn these things? And what were some of the breakthrough experiences, even the one I mentioned with you around, you know, utilizing 5-MeO-DMT, other plant medicines, and just talking about how these things are not going to transform your life within themselves, but the integration on the other side, which is what I do with my clients, even outside of using any plant medicine, is just what's most impactful. And I think he would have really enjoyed that, and his audience would have really resonated with it as well.
One of the things when I watched the show and it kind of pulled out and I wanted to kind of do a deeper dive into it, you know, the link between physical conditioning and mental resilience. You know, why is the body such a gateway to psychological strength?
Yeah, because we store all of our emotions in our physical body, right? And that's why some of my clients, they think that like I'm a mystic, like I know things I'm not supposed to know. But actually, I use AI for some things that gave me the answer, because there's thousands of years of research, especially in Chinese medicine, that connect the mind and the body in different physical ailments with different emotions. So I could do something as simple as a client comes to me and they say, "Oh, I've got this chronic pain and it's right here in this part of my lower back." And I'll just ask ChatGPT or Claude or whatever. I'll go, "Okay, what is the spiritual emotional root of this type of injury?" And then I'll kind of scan what it gives to me. And what I know about the person, it'll be blatantly obvious within a moment to be like, "Oh, boom, right there. Let me ask them about that." And they're like, "Well, how do you know exactly the emotional issue I'm dealing with?" I'm like, "Because it's tied to your physical issue. It's right here. It's not a huge mystery." And so that's a big part of what I do, is I work, you know, with professional athletes and even just regular dudes, anyone, through physical injuries by getting to the emotional root. Because okay, if I come up to you with a baseball bat and I break your legs, we can safely say that your legs are broken by the baseball bat. But oftentimes, if someone has like this nagging back pain that's kind of coming out of nowhere, or, you know, a hamstring that starts to pull, or an Achilles, like a lot of these injuries actually have an emotional root to them. And if we can get through that emotional root, we can deal with a lot of the symptoms and can heal a lot faster.
Makes complete sense to me. Absolute complete sense. We'll backtrack a second. And you'd mentioned like some of the comments that were on the Rogan. There's kind of two forms. Yeah. Speaking specifically of comments, you know, how do you help athletes? And I say athletes because CEOs and entrepreneurs typically aren't in the same spotlight on social media. So, I mean, how do you help athletes kind of handle the public scrutiny and some of the social media pressures that have become so crazy online?
Yeah. My favorite Zen proverb is what I teach them. What you can't accept won't change, and what you resist persists. And so what I tell them is, hey, everyone has a perception and it's all God. And to some degree, maybe it's all true. And so if someone has an opinion about you, even if you don't agree with it, accept your way through it. You're not taking it on as your belief or something that now you believe to be true, but just accept that they have a perception of you. And that alone allows them to kind of just process it through the body and let go of this contracted state of like, no, I need to push against it. I need to prove it wrong. It's like, no, you don't. Right? Because what we resist persists. So if someone says, oh, this guy can never handle pressure situations. Well, when you're trying to push against that and prove them wrong, all you're doing is persisting what is resisting. And so instead, when you just accept it, you go, okay, fine. Yeah, I've had some moments where I didn't show up in the moments that counted. Right? So that's one part of it. The other part of it is like, okay, whatever's a trigger for you emotionally, whatever people are saying about you, there's some degree of that that you're believing to be true for yourself. Otherwise, it wouldn't bother you, right? If someone says, oh, look at Brandon, he has red hair, it's super red. I'd be like, well, my hair is pretty brown. I mean, I don't really care, right? It's like when you objectively know something to be true and someone says something that's not true, like it doesn't have the emotional resonance for you. And so it shows us where we need to do some of the work. It shows us, okay, that's a trigger for you. So let's resolve that. And we can bring it into the deeper work we do.
It sounds like you're talking to kind of look at the realistic parts, and if it's not real, it doesn't really matter to a certain extent.
And you can say that to someone rationally and they'll be like, yeah, but we really have to get them through the body, right? We have to get them out of their head, out of the mental rumination and into the emotional acceptance. And so, you know, I talk about having an ego death. That's what it feels like for these guys, right? When it's like someone saying something to be true that you don't want to be true, maybe you believe to be true a little bit and it's triggering you, it's bothering you. All right, this is your ego death moment. To release yourself from the shackles of other people's opinions is to accept it and say, fine, it's true.
So on that kind of get going, you know, even taking more another deeper dive, you know, for like a young athlete that's chasing that visibility, you know, what advice do you give them about building real confidence versus, I'll call it, external, you know, validation? Hey, somebody, you had a bunch of likes on social media. You had some people comment on it.
Yeah. I think confidence is just a byproduct of living the truth. Being honest with yourself, being honest with others, having integrity. I think that's the foundation for confidence, really. And whenever you lie to yourself, no matter how small it is, or if you lie to anyone else, that is going to erode your confidence. But if you can be truthful and you can be willing to sit into the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it is, I think your confidence will slowly build from a deep intrinsic place.
That's good. That's really good. Are there tools that you would use to teach clients kind of how to regulate that?
I think there are tools. Absolutely. A lot of it is just coming into a container with me, though, and us getting to the root of whatever it is, right? Because I feel and I know everything, right? Like when I get in a container with a client, I can feel what's going on in their body. That's my gift. That's just a byproduct of many, many repetitions. And so I can feel if someone's not being truthful with myself or with themselves. And so I will just dig in there with them until the truth comes out. And then I will make them, you know, do what they do. And like AA, I'll say, okay, you need to go get back into the truth, whatever that looks like for you. It's really that simple. It's okay. I did something I feel like is out of integrity. Okay, well, what would it look like to make amends or to get back into the truth or to tell the truth? Because a lot of athletes I'm working with, right? And this is going to be something that doesn't get talked about that much, but truthfully, like, they have a lot of options with women, right? Mm-hmm. And so I see actually a lot of athletes that come in a container with me, a coaching container, and they're dealing with the stress and anxiety. It may have nothing to do with what's going on in the field or the court. It has to do with like, oh, well, I told this girl that I wanted to be with her, but the truth is I'm dating these four girls on the side. And it's like, that's what actually gets them into trouble. Instead of just telling every single girl, hey, I'm dating 5 women right now. This is the season of life I'm in. I will let you know if anything changes, but it is what it is. And it may sound funny, but like that's part of living the truth is just saying, hey, I'm not hiding anything from anyone.
Right.
I'm going to be fully truthful and honest about what I desire, where my inspiration is for this season of my life. And I'm not going to hide it, or I'm not going to tell anyone lies to try to protect them or myself from any potential conflict.
I mean, I wanted to throw you that loaded question. And the reason why I think it's loaded is everybody wants a quick fix. They want like a simple, hey, just tell me these 3 things. And this is going to completely change. So I don't have to worry about it. But what you're saying is there's a relationship involved. There's communication involved. It's not just a, hey, this is what you need to do. And you're going to check the box and everything is going to be okay. It takes time. And it also takes the person understanding and knowing where somebody's coming from to give a true value judgment or true value to it. It's
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to do one workout and then just be done for the rest of your life, right? Like you got to train the mind. You got to train these things. You have to practice spirituality, right? Spirituality is a practice. It's not something you do one time. It's a practice. All these things are practices that you have to, you know, you can work with someone as a facilitator, right? Just like you can go to church or you can have someone that helps you Bible study or whatever. Then ultimately you have to have your own practice that you bring into your own life. And so if there was a magic pill, Ryan, I would say it's the practice of awareness, of not just allowing things to slide under the radar, but actually staying in a state of awareness of how you feel in every moment. So you can do something about it if something doesn't feel right.
Amen to that. Hey, we're going to be back with our 4th and final segment with Brandon Epstein on the Game Changer Unlocked right after this. Welcome back to the Game Changer Unlocked. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of the Game Changer Unlocked or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen to it on the go? Catch the podcast version, the show, right on Now Media TV's website at www.nowmediatv. And from business to breaking news to lifestyle, to culture, everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. We're in our final segment with Brandon Epstein, high-performance coach, transformational specialists. We're discussing identity, longevity, and sustainable success. So Brandon, I'm going to lead with this. High performance often leads to burnout. I can personally say, hey, I was burned out when I was, you know, coaching in college. It's one of the main reasons why I got out of it. You know, how do you help clients sustain peak levels without sacrificing well-being? Especially with those individuals that are, hey, I'm a go-getter. I don't like saying no. I like working a lot. How do you kind of help clients kind of navigate that place?
Yeah, I would say so much of it comes down to the source of the energy that you're pulling from. What I mean by that is that if you're constantly forcing from a place of obligation, I have to do this. I have to do this. I've done this for years and I just have to do it. Nobody can do it besides me. I'm the only person for this. I have to do it. That obligation is what I see most often leading to chronic diseases, developing physical injuries, burnout, like emotional breakdown. Obligation is the greatest enemy of anyone who wants to have sustained success. And so what is the opposite polarity of that? Inspiration. It's trying to align as much of your energy in a given day with this energy of inspiration. I get to do it. The present moment is something I look forward to actually being in because I'm inspired to take part in the things that are on my plate right now. That's it, Brian.
That's easy. That's easy. That's awesome. You know, I've heard you mention rewiring identity. Mm-hmm. What does that actually mean?
Okay. We have to start by asking ourselves, like, what is an identity? An identity is a version of yourself that you're currently embodying. It's the ego identity that you're choosing, whether consciously or unconsciously, to embody right now. If we want to get a little spiritual here, we are eternal souls having this ego identity, physical, material experience. And so what is this ego identity built upon? The building blocks are subconscious beliefs. Whatever you believe to be true, you will make it true for you. You will delete, distort, and generalize the world around you to reinforce that reality. And that reality is building up the sense of self, the sense of identity. What I can do, what I'm not capable of, what I believe to be true, what I don't believe to be true, what I value, what I don't value, what I like, what I don't like, my preferences, all built within this identity. And so if we want to make lasting progress in our lives and sustain success, we need to identify the parts of our identity that are in resistance with the things that we say we desire and we want to create. That's the only way that we're going to create it from a place of flow, from a place where we're going to sustain and not burn out. Because when you have an identity that's in conflict with the outcome, desire, the goal that you say you want, you're constantly going to be forced up against this invisible resistance. You're going to run into that ceiling that says, don't go any higher than this. And so the identity is what holds our beliefs and ultimately holds our ability to create the reality we desire.
You know, do you think that for so many high achievers, when they hit their goals, they still feel empty? You think that has a lot to do with what you're just describing?
Yeah, that's an identity built off of, it's what I do that makes me valuable, not just who I am. Because when you believe that it's the doing that makes you a valuable person, that should make you feel like you're enough, like you got there. Oh, finally, I'm there. I'm enough. I have achieved what I wanted. And now I can give myself that sense of satisfaction and wholeness I've been seeking, why I put all the effort in the first place. As long as it's all coming from this, what I do makes me valuable energy, you will stay on this hamster wheel of never getting there, never feeling like enough, never getting to the real sense of fulfillment, regardless of how much success you have. And so the opposite polarity of that is, I believe it's who I am that makes me valuable, not just what I do, which means that you don't ride the roller coaster of, okay, I did something really good, I have success, and now I should feel good for a little bit period of time, or because that roller coaster eventually goes down. And when you don't have success, when you have things that don't go well, you're down in the dumps and you feel like you're worthless and that, you know, you're a POS. And so we're disconnecting from that when we believe that it's who I am that makes me valuable and not just what I do. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to get wrapped up in the drama of trying to achieve our goals and doing lots of things in the world, but we're going to do it all from the foundation of, hey, regardless of those external outcomes, who I am is more than enough. And I can find wholeness and fulfillment in that, regardless of what I achieve or don't achieve.
If someone's, you know, someone's watching, wants to shift their identity starting today, what's the first practical step they could take?
I'd want them to start setting alarms on their phone every 3 hours that just ask them, how does it feel to be you right now? And what these alarms will do for them over the course of a week will give them all this data that shows them the reality of their experience, of how the identity that they're living in right now is creating their moment-to-moment feeling, which is really what life's about, right? It doesn't matter how materially successful you are. If you're not enjoying the present moment, you're losing the game of life. And so this exercise will bring you into a state of awareness, and you'll see really how well you're doing in life based upon the emotional experience you have in that data set of emotions throughout a week.
That's super practical, super easy advice. That's awesome. So let's look forward now. Kind of the final question, you know, looking forward, where do you see performance psychology or mental performance coaching heading in the next decade?
I think this is going to be something that universally is going to be accepted by everyone, not just high performance. You know, high performance are always on the leading edge of everything, right? They're the people who are going to start, you know, doing physical therapy and strength training before everyone else. And now the rest of the population is caught up, right? So yes, high performers are getting into this right now and it's starting to become more mainstream. But I think with the adoption of AI, we're going to see a lot of people having to do a lot of soul searching, because a lot of jobs that used to give their life value just because it took up time and it was a way to feel useful are going to disappear. So in that void, it's going to have to be filled by asking the deeper questions. Okay, who am I? What is it like to be me? What do I desire? Where is my inspiration? What type of contribution do I want to make in the world? And so I think this is going to be something that's going to just explode worldwide. And I think that it's going to have to be embraced. And there will probably be two camps of people, right? They're going to be people that want the magic pill, who are going to want to just numb. They're going to say, hey, give me the SSRIs, give me the Valium, give me the benzos, and let me just turn off and numb myself so I don't have to deal with life and how intense life can be, you know, the experience of life, which has so many highs and lows, regardless of how spiritually evolved you are. And there will be the camp of people who want to dig in here and they want to go deep and they want to ask the deeper questions. They want to say, who am I? Who do I want to be? And, you know, I, along with a lot of the people, are going to be the guides that bring people through this portal and find usefulness in the creativity of inspiration of getting to what their unique talents are. Because that's what happens when you start asking those questions. You uncover what your unique talents are and you find a way to bring them out into the world and to be of service with them.
Man, so some really good insight, and I can completely see that happening. Where can somebody find out more about you and share where you're about your book?
Yeah. Book is called The Success Code. It's on Amazon. I got the audiobook, paperback, Kindle, you name it. Website is thebrandonepstein.com. You don't see what I'm looking at right now, but I actually built a retreat center here in Columbia. So I bring a lot of high performers down here and I have really beautiful experiences with them, kind of resetting, recharging. So you can reach out to me on the website if you want to come join me down here, if you want to work together one-to-one. Otherwise, if you want to follow the content that I put out, I'm on Instagram. You can find me Brandon_Epstein, and I'm pretty active on there. So that'll do it.
Brandon, thank you so much for being on the show today. Super insightful. I know a ton of people are going to get so much out of it. And I know a lot of more people are going to be following up and looking up you, finding out some more so they can make a better version of themselves.
Thanks for having me, man. Very grateful to be here with you.
Definitely a pleasure. Hey, today's conversation with Brandon Epstein makes one thing clear. Peak performance isn't accidental. It's intentional. It's trained. And it's built from the inside out. You know, from his own journey as an athlete searching for the edge to coaching elite performers, stepping into platforms like the Joe Rogan Experience, Brandon's message is simple but profound. You don't rise to the occasion. You rise to the level of your identity. You make yourself better. Whether you're stepping into it on a field or a boardroom or the next season of life, the question isn't, can I handle the pressure? The question is, who are you becoming in the process? That's where real transformation happens. Thank you, Brandon, for challenging us to think deeper, to perform higher, and to live with intention. I'm Brian Fetzer. This is the Game Changer Unlocked. Stay disciplined, stay driven, and keep changing the game.